Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Ed Battagliano is out today. He hopefully will be back tomorrow. Walker is serving as co-host today with me. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here for the show.
Our Facebook page, we're going to be doing what we usually do there.
That's right. We'll be live streaming the show there. You can go to the Today's Issues Facebook page, watch the show each Monday through Friday. Also, comment live on the stories that we talk about and on the show. Share your thoughts. And also, all the links to each story will be posted on the Facebook page.
Fred Jackson with us. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim and Walker. Good to be with you.
Fred's news director for American Family Radio and also OneNewsNow.com. He leads that effort for our news team there. Let me just mention before we get to the story about the hurricane, we're going to talk about that for the next few minutes. We got a lot to talk about today, different topics coming up. We're not just going to talk about the hurricane, but certainly that's leading the news. But we have two radio stations that were affected. Now, don't misunderstand me. A radio station being off the air pales in comparison to the human suffering that's being experienced in Houston and along the Gulf Coast in Texas. We understand that. But I'm just doing this as a way of making people aware of how it didn't impact us here. And that is our Corpus Christi station is off the air. American Family Radio station there, and our Victoria station is off the air. Victoria, Texas station is off the air. Now, as I understand it, our Conroe station is still on, which is in northwest.
About 30 miles north of Houston.
Northwest of Houston, northwest of Houston, which we have a lot of listeners in that area, the Woodlands and so forth. But, man, when you saw pictures from Houston, it looked like to me almost all over the city, all over the area beyond Houston has been impacted by the flooding, including the Woodlands and Conroe and those areas. So, Fred, tell us what's going on here.
Well, let's go back to late Friday night, early Saturday morning. By the time Harvey made shore, it was a Cat 4. It just kept building and building in strength throughout Friday afternoon, Friday evening because of the warm Gulf waters. You know, this was, we have to give credit to the forecasters. They were 100% correct, unfortunately, in the magnitude of this hurricane. A lot of the wind damage, the eye of the storm came in around Rockport along the coastline there, which would be southwest of Houston. So if you're seeing pictures over the weekend of Rockport, they have a lot of wind damage there. Corpus actually got away without the heavy damage that they had talked about. Initially, they thought Harvey would come ashore a little bit further down the coast. But Rockport certainly got hit very hard with wind damage. Then when you get further north there, you move up the coastline. We're talking about Galveston and then, of course, the city of Houston. The big problem is the water, is the flooding. Some people are saying, Tim and Walker this morning, that this could be the worst incident in flooding in U.S. history. And if you start to look at the pictures, you will see it. And the thing is, it's far, far from over yet. We've had in some places 20, 25, 30 inches of rain already in the wake of the hurricane, and they're predicting another 25, 30, depending on what you're talking about, in the greater Houston area. It is, the pictures, just to try to draw an image for radio, you're seeing a lot of pictures in the Houston area where the water is up to the signal lights on a street. Mm-hmm. Now, just imagine for a moment, that's 12 to 15 feet above the street. And then you're seeing pictures of people sitting on their cars, if their cars are not covered yet. And then you're seeing pictures. One of the most powerful pictures that I saw early this morning was of a nursing home where senior citizens were sitting in a like kind of a living room area. Mm-hmm. They're sitting on couches with water up to their chests. I've never seen anything like that.
Now, they were able to rescue all
they
those.
They were to rescue in this particular nursing home. They were able to rescue. But it was a powerful, powerful picture. Now, you know, they're going to be talking about this for years. Early on, Governor of Texas Abbott, we're talking Thursday, late Thursday, Friday. The warning went out, get out of Houston. If you can get out, this is going to be horrible. But you know, as it is with a lot of predicted bad flooding hurricanes, a lot of folks just simply decide we're going to wait this one out because we did the last time. They go back to 1991 or to other situations like this, and they said, you know, we would have been better off because, you know, we ended up like 2 million other people trying to get out of town and stuck in traffic. We're just going to wait this one out because maybe it won't be as bad as authorities said it would be. But now they're in a desperate situation because you've got streets, you've got interstates that look like lakes and trying to get people in there. Now, Governor Abbott has praised FEMA, praised the Trump administration for how they have helped already. President Trump will be going probably to a shelter in the north side of Houston tomorrow. That is the word that we have right now. But like MD Anderson, they've had to shut down for the most part.
The airports
are shut down. The oil refineries started to move on this on Thursday because it takes days for them to scale down. So you've got a lot of the refineries that produce the oil and gas, or the gas that we use, they have been shut down. That's probably going to have an impact on gas prices sooner or later as the week goes on. There are hospitals that had to start. I heard one story yesterday of a hospital starting evacuations yesterday because they had 17 patients on ventilators. Now imagine the difficulty it is, patients who are on ventilators and trying to get them out in this kind of situation. Mm-hmm. You now have an appeal from FEMA. I mean, they're moving in thousands of guard people. The guard has been called out, but they're asking people, residents, if you got a boat, you got a speedboat, a fishing boat, we can use you to, you know, go patrol in your neighborhood. If you see people sitting on their cars, they're up on the roof of your house, We need to help you out to take people to shelters, and they've got many shelters that are set up. As I say, this is going to be an ongoing story because Harvey, as I think we tried to describe when we were on the air in some of the programs on Friday, Harvey is being jammed in by a high-pressure system over Colorado in that area, and then there's a high-pressure system to the east, like over Florida. So there's a squeeze play that's going on there, which just explains why Harvey is kind of staying in a tight circle. Mm-hmm. The latest prediction is that Harvey will move back out to sea and then perhaps come back ashore again. A state of emergency has already been declared in the state of Louisiana because there are fears, and accurate fears based on projections, that when Harvey comes back ashore, a lot of Louisiana is going to be affected pretty well over, maybe including New Orleans again. Mm-hmm. And then it may then move further up to the northeast.
Yeah.
These are all based on models right now. Nobody can say for sure. But
when I was watching a Fox News report yesterday, the way the news anchor, it was a reporter on the ground for Fox News, she was riding around in a boat.
Mm-hmm.
With the live camera feed reporting in Houston there. And she was saying that this was not a 24-hour water rising event. This was a 1 hour. Mm. You look outside and it's ankle deep. mm-hmm. and you're thinking, oh, okay, it'll go, the water level will go down. Then you look back outside and it's coming in your front door.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, I saw pictures of kids laying on the kitchen countertop sleeping.
Yes.
Because they couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Let me just this is just one person's observation. By the way, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio, we are live video streaming the show.
Yes, sir.
On our Today's Issues Facebook page, you can go there and comment. Next hour, we're going to be talking to Steve Tiber from 8 Days of Hope, which is a ministry that we support. He can tell you how you can help with their efforts, what they're going to be doing. 8 Days of Hope got started because of a storm like this, Katrina, and their ministry now has grown to where they impact. They're one of the most well-respected relief organizations right. in the country, and we very much support 8 Days of Hope. We'll be talking to their executive director coming up next hour, Steve Tiber. But let me just say this. This is just one person's opinion on how this all – people might say, well, why didn't folks leave? And, of course, if you're a citizen of the Houston area, you could answer this better than I could. But what I've been able to ascertain, Fred, is that this storm – and the mayor talked about this, the mayor, and he's taken some criticism for not ordering a mandatory evacuation. But if you listen to him – I understand what he's saying. It's a tough call that he had to make in this, because Houston was not expected, nor did they take a direct hit mm-hmm. from the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if Houston were to have been projected to have taken a direct hit from the hurricane, and then he did not order a mandatory evacuation, he would certainly be subject to criticism. Talking about the mayor. When you're 50 miles from, or whatever it was, 100 miles from taking a direct hit on a hurricane, and you've got a major city like Houston, Texas, where ordering a mandatory evacuation means that your interstates are jammed from Houston to Dallas, basically. Mm-hmm. You got people sitting out there on the interstate rather than in their homes. But the amount of rainfall that was projected for this storm, didn't that sort of all of a sudden come within a 48-hour projection?
They started Friday morning when I was watching the weather forecast.
Right.
Friday morning, they started to talk about 50 inches of rain, and that going to be the big story from Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Right. What I'm getting at here is the rain projections, mm-hmm. weren't they sort of thrown at people within a 24 to 48-hour period?
Correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. The rain projections.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's, if you'd known a week ago, hey, we're going to have 3 feet of rain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then let's pack our bags and go to Dallas or Memphis or wherever we need to get away from the storm and the flooding. But this was sort of thrown at them, mm-hmm. quote, on the last minute notice. Am I right?
Yeah. And, you know, Monday morning quarterback, as you're saying, Tim, is always easy. And you mentioned Steve Tiber's group. They have they divide up their work now between two divisions, Hope Rains, which is the group that goes in almost immediately, and Steve will talk about this, and then 8 Days of Hope, because they're the group that goes in often many months later, and you may say, what are you talking about many months later?
Yeah.
One of the other groups is Franklin Graham Samaritan's Purse, very well known. They already have 18-wheelers mm-hmm. on the ground in the area. He was talking this morning with Fox and Friends, and let's have a listen to what he has to say about this and Samaritan's Purse's role in this.
People don't realize that floods are the worst, because once the water recedes, it's the mud, it's the mold that begins to take over a house, and it takes weeks to clean out some of these homes. And it can take months before you can even repair it, because the house has to dry out. The recovery for this is going to take, I believe, it's going to be several years. We've got chaplains right now in shelters praying with people, encouraging people. I mean, people don't know what to do. And they're sitting in these shelters, and their homes, they've lost their homes, they've lost everything they've worked for their whole lives, their businesses. And it's... these people are not only going to need our help today, tomorrow, but for months to come.
Yeah.
And that's all right. And you know, for us sitting where it is dry, to stop and think about this for a moment, years to recover from this in the worst hit areas in that Houston area. Mm-hmm. And as we were saying, there's another 20, 25 inches to come. What the residents who are still in Houston probably didn't want to hear this morning, authorities there are having to release water from some of the big reservoirs in the city because it's building up and there's real concern they're going to break. So they've got to release water from the reservoirs, which will bring the street water up more, but that is better than having a reservoir break completely because of the force, the weight of the water behind it. So all of that is unfolding today. It's just, I mean, it's.
Have you ever seen anything like this? This reminds me of what the people in Louisiana went through.
Mm-hmm.
Was it last year?
Do you remember that? Yeah. 2016.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, of course, this is more widespread,
mm-hmm.
and even more water. But I mean, after you reach a certain point, what's 5 more inches? I mean, the damage has already been done. But you remember those pictures from Baton Rouge and Denham Springs and that whole area in South Louisiana. And are those folks supposed to get the kind of rainfall they got in Houston?
Well, like I said, the projections right now is for Harvey to go back out into the Gulf for a little while and then come ashore again. And that's why the state of emergency has already been declared in Louisiana, because it's going to come ashore a little bit further to the northeast.
Yeah.
And the problem here is this is all low-lying area. I mean, you're talking land at sea level, mm-hmm. where a lot of these houses, businesses, and all of this sort of thing. There's no cover. There's no high ground to go to
for these folks.
And the two dams that are going to be released today by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, I'm reading, this is not funny, but this is bad. I'm laughing at what are the chances of this. The two dams that they're releasing go into the Buffalo Bayou that goes through Houston, which is already what's flooded. That's the main flooded area of Houston.
Is that the ones we see on the pictures?
Most of the pictures that you see are the Buffalo Bayou, which is unrecognizable now because it's so flooded. Well, the two dams that they're going to release are releasing into that Buffalo Bayou.
Yeah.
So they're saying more homes might be affected by releasing this water mm-hmm. that you have to release.
Yeah, they don't have a choice.
Yeah,
this is like the Franklin Graham was saying there. You're talking about years,
mm-hmm.
Years of, and so many people. You send these pictures of these people with their homes destroyed, like you said, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? And so many people, in this same situation.
Yeah,
and like you're saying, that's when this rainfall is still coming down.
It's still coming down. And we're talking about rain continuing until Wednesday or Thursday of this week. I mean, they can't begin really the recovery
for days. Right. And don't you have mold?
That's what Franklin Graham, you've got mud.
Yeah.
And you've got mold. Mm-hmm. This is after the waters have receded. So you got to wait for the waters to recede. And then things have to dry out before you can even think about starting to tear down.
Right.
And build. That's why it says it's years.
Essentially, all the first levels, the first stories mm-hmm. of all the buildings that were touched by this will have to be completely gutted mm-hmm. and remodeled. All the furniture's ruined. All the appliances are probably ruined.
Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, Tim, just put yourself for a moment. You're sitting in a shelter somewhere.
Yeah.
All you're able to take, if you're able to... Somebody was saying this morning, if you're able to grab your house insurance, the paperwork on that, and obviously your loved ones and maybe a pet is mm-hmm. what most people think about, and you're sitting in a shelter right now, and you know there's nowhere to go back to.
Hey, by the way, will this break some of the insurance companies, you think?
Oh, it always has an impact. Mm-hmm. Always. I mean,
I don't know if you can plan for something like this. Maybe you can't. I don't know. I'm not an insurance person.
You know, a lot of folks don't have flood insurance. You know, if you're not on the beach mm-hmm. per se,
mm-hmm.
you know, if flood insurance is not as popular as you know other.
That's
kind
a good
of,
point, Walker.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, it's not whether the insurance companies are going to go broke. It's whether folks are going to go broke or not be able to repair their homes because of the lack thereof.
I'll never go back. You know, if you drive along the main drag in Biloxi, Gulfport, Mississippi, going back to Katrina, I guess it would be.
Right.
They're not allowing any more buildings to be built where the flooding caused that much damage right along the shoreline there. Mm-hmm. Because of the flood. You can't get insurance.
Right.
You know, the insurance company said, we're not going to insure you because there is no point in this.
Yeah, you know, Walker, that's a very interesting point you made there. I didn't even think about that. I don't know why I haven't thought about that, but flood insurance is, most people don't get flood insurance because they think they'll never need it.
Right. Well, yeah, know, I was offered flood insurance. Of course, I'm not, you know, by the Buffalo Bayou in Houston, but I'm like, most people are thinking, like you're saying, I don't need flood insurance.
Right. I'm
not going to flood.
It's not going to flood here.
Right.
I'm 5 miles from the river or whatever like that. And the next thing you look up and this water coming down your street. And, you know, anyway, it's just tragic on so many levels. Steve Tiber from 8 Days of Hope will join us at top of the hour. Steve Jordahl as well to give us the latest. But, you just want to cry when you see what's going on. And this is across a swath of probably, what, 100 miles?
Oh, yeah.
Or more?
Easily.
A couple hundred miles?
Easily. There's one more aspect to this. On Friday, Attorney General Ken Paxton announced, and he may, in the wake of Hurricane Harvey, employees from the Consumer Protection Division and Constituent Affairs Division will operate the hotlines. Now, what's that about? Because, unfortunately, there are unscrupulous people out there who try to take advantage, you know, and try to raise prices of everything in the midst of the disaster, make people...
Oh, price gouging?
Price gouging, exactly. Yeah. So they put a number out, 800-621-0508. If you're running into this, you're in that area down there, you call that, and they'll take a record of it. There's already been a few reports of that kind of thing going on. That people would try to take advantage of this disaster.
You know, like we mentioned, suffering on so many levels. I just clicked over to the Houston Chronicle website, which is the major newspaper there. And they have you can click on a place that they mentioned all the roads that are closed in the greater Houston area. And it goes on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about Interstate 10.
Yeah.
That's just one. Interstate 10's closed in many areas. Interstate 10's, that's a major.
Coast to coast.
Yeah.
Interstate coast to coast closed in so as many areas in and around Houston. Mm-hmm. And just these roads that are closed go on. And these are the ones that they posted. I mean, I keep scrolling down. It's just unbelievable. So try to get around.
Oh.
Just try to get around the area is impossible.
Yeah, Phyllis here.
That cancer center's closed.
Yes.
MD Anderson.
MD Anderson.
Yeah. A Facebook viewer of the show here, Phyllis, said she lives east of Houston, 7 miles north of Beaumont.
Beaumont.
She says, I feel we did not realize Houston would get that much water and so fast. Harvey has been a horrific storm. They are projecting the storm to come back through the Beaumont area. Praying for Rockport and Houston, all south and east Texas.
Yeah.
So that's one of our listeners.
One of our listeners who lives in Beaumont saying that.
Yeah.
It's coming back towards her.
Right.
Yeah.
Toward the people there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it won't be a hurricane any longer, but just that rain, that torrential rain over and over and over again. I was watching the Weather Channel. They were talking about how these bands come in.
Yeah.
You just and they go back, and because it's sitting on the Gulf, it goes back out there. And it's kind of like imagine going and getting a bucket of water and pouring it, and then another bucket comes in because the Gulf re-strengthens the storm because it's half over, sort of half over land, half over the Gulf of Mexico.
That's right.
Jeremy Wiggins will be with us in a few minutes, and we got much more to talk about here on the program. Stay with us. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Don't tell me that human beings, you know, cause hurricanes. And don't tell me that we as human beings have the power to control our weather. So if there's any lesson to be learned from this, it's that.
We'll also hear news and analysis from newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. I know the first time I ever went to Israel, you land there in Tel Aviv, you get off the plane, you get out on the bus, you start driving through the plains of Sharon outside of Tel Aviv, and you just pinch yourself and you just say, am I really here? Am I really in the Holy Land, the land of the Bible? Or was this just a fairy tale I read about as a child? No. It's a real place. The Bible is true historically and, as we know, spiritually. So if you want to join us on this trip to the place where you pinch yourself, we're going in March 8th through the 16th. All the information is available at the website twholyland.com. twholyland.com. If you want a free brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES. 800-FAMILIES. Option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Sometimes it takes something catastrophic to bring Americans back together, to remind us that we don't have to be divided by our politics or the color of our skin. The floodwaters did not discriminate. In the face of great suffering, black and white and brown Texans pulled each other from the waters. Jim McIngvale opened up his furniture stores so folks could have a dry place to sleep. Louisiana's Cajun Navy and all-volunteer armada showed up armed with baby diapers and formula for their Texas neighbors. Southern Baptist arrived to feed the hungry, a cast-iron skillet in one hand, a Bible in the other. And deputies in Liberty County even helped lead a cattle drive down Highway 90, making sure the livestock had safe refuge. Yes, it's true, the great storm washed away homes and belongings, but there was one thing the floodwaters could not destroy: the spirit of this great nation. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We strongly encourage you to do two things related to the hurricane story out of Texas, and that is, one, pray for the people and the leaders there. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a generational impact.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how to tell you to pray. You know, but pray.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, do what you can to support organizations that reach out, that do help these victims of this hurricane. And we're going to be talking to 8 Days of Hope leader Steve Tiber. 8 Days of Hope is a national relief agency, if you will, Christian-based. They're located locally where we are, although they're a national organization, but they're going to be going down there to the Houston area. They've been all over the country for 10 years now, helping people in the name of Jesus recover. Mm-hmm. With rebuilding or remodeling and things of that nature. So we'll be talking to Steve Tiber about that. Jeremy Wiggins is in with us. Jeremy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim.
Do you know somebody down there?
No, I don't know anybody in Houston area.
Right.
I don't. I know Janet Mefford, who's on this, is in Texas, but she's up in
north
in Dallas. So, but yeah, you're right. I've seen videos and all of the coverage that's going on. And, you know, you're talking about generational. It's the impact of something like this is going to be felt for decades. And for some, it's going to change their lives completely. I mean, you know, we were talking off air, and there's a lot of people who are going to have to just pick up and move, as you said, because their jobs are gone. Mm-hmm. Literally, they're gone. And an interesting thing is I just recently purchased my first home, and you want to talk about long-term impacts. And when I was buying my homeowner's insurance, the company that I bought the homeowner's insurance with told me I had to bundle. And I was like, well, I don't really want to bundle. I got a great rate on another auto insurance. But she said, after Hurricane Katrina, that the state of Mississippi, you have to bundle it because it's not financially, what's the word I'm looking for?
Feasible.
Feasible for insurance companies to insure people in the state of Mississippi anymore and Louisiana because of the Hurricane Katrina. So, you know, we don't even know what long-term effects there are going to be on something like this. And it just, it ripples down all the way up into people who weren't even in the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, our prayers definitely need to be, I think if we wanted to focus on an area, it's that flooding. I think that's going to be the biggest thing because, you know, I watched a video by Nabil Qureshi. He's the author of Fleeing or Leaving Allah, Finding Jesus.
Former Muslim. Yeah.
Former Muslim. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had stomach cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He's on equipment that keeps him alive. And he said he can't get to the hospital and he's only got, you know, 3 days worth of materials left. I saw another Good Morning America clip this morning where they were talking specifically about hospitals and how they can't even evacuate the hospitals. They tried evacuating a hospital down there in the Houston area, and they couldn't get out. They had to stop and turn around. Then they were only trying with 15 people who were on ventilators, and they couldn't even get out. The problem with the hospitals is they receive daily shipments of food and blood, and so, you know, that's... Really, I think the floodwaters is where we could focus our prayers on.
Yeah.
And a lot of these hospitals and larger buildings, all their power units are in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the first things that get hit. So they may be on dry levels of the of a 5, 6, 7-story building, but the power is gone.
Right.
Because all those units are underwater right now.
Right.
Well, you have a chain reaction here of what you guys have described of necessities of life that are blocked because you just can't, because of all things, you can't transport them.
No.
You know, you trying to get people, the things you mentioned, Jeremy, and things you mentioned, Fred, I didn't even thought about those things. You got a hospital. Hospital has to have trucks come every day to deliver the medical products that they need to service their patients.
Mm-hmm.
Including just food.
Yeah.
We don't realize, like you're saying, how necessary the 18-wheeler the 18-wheeler trucks, the semis.
Can't get in there.
Right. They can't get in there. And so we kind of take that for granted. Basically, when you go out to eat at night or when you go anywhere and purchase items, food, water, clothing, that comes off of a semi truck probably the day before.
Yeah.
And when your roads get disrupted, there's no way of delivery.
Right. Yeah.
You'd be amazed at just how fast the stuff on the grocery shelf, you know, when you stop having trucks coming in, it's amazing how fast that stuff disappears and it doesn't show back up. But we don't think about that because we're on this side of the supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of the grocery stores are flooded now and around the area themselves, which will contaminate the food and the other thing I was thinking, one irony here, and that's all it is, but it's an irony nonetheless, is that a lot of the people from Katrina who left New Orleans were resettled in Houston.
I know.
Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And now, 10 years later, or 12 years later, I guess it is, they find themselves experiencing Katrina all over again, except... You know, in their new home there in Houston.
The role that churches are going to have to play. Former governor of Texas, Rick Perry, was on Fox and Friends this morning. And he says, you know, Texas is going to be looking to groups like, I think he called it the Baptist Men's Group that is active in helping in disasters like this. But churches in the area, these bands of water and rain reached almost up to just south of Dallas, like Killeen, Texas, Austin, the I-35 that runs down from the north through Austin to San Antonio. San Antonio was just on the edge of those rain bands, and those churches are going to, we're going to be talking with Pastor Robert Jeffress. We're planning to do a story with him at First Baptist Dallas. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people depending on churches like that that are just outside the rain bands to come in and help, and I'm sure that they will. Mm-hmm. So this, but then there are the losses of the churches in the Houston area. You've got some pretty big churches in the Houston area that are going to suffer this. When will they be able to meet again, even after the water recedes? So it's incredible.
Another thing you don't think about, unless you've experienced this, and then you begin to see it, is the pets that are missing, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the wild animals now, the snakes, you know, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Livestock.
I was reading all about this last night, and one of the recommendations was, if you have livestock like horses and cows, to write your phone number on their hooves with a Sharpie.
Mm-hmm.
So that after the storm, they can get the cattle back to where they're supposed to be.
Well, think about all of the standing water that's going to be left around for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Stagnant waters, mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes and other insects, West Nile virus. So, I mean, we don't tend to think about the long-term effects of this. You know, we're focused right now on that it's still happening, but...
Right,
like we said earlier, this is going to take decades to rebuild from.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and we're going to be talking more about this with Steve Tiber from 8 Days of Hope coming up at 11:05 Central Time on American Family Radio. Jeremy, you got anything you wanted to discuss non-hurricane related, or
you know what, Tim? As a matter of fact, I do.
Go ahead.
On last Tuesday, D. James Kennedy Ministries, which most people around here would probably be familiar with, filed a lawsuit against our pals over at the Southern Poverty Law Center and the charity navigation organization GuideStar and Amazon. Why? Defamation, religious discrimination, and trafficking in falsehood. The SPLC had listed D. James Kennedy Ministries as a hate group, while GuideStar also categorized it in those terms. And Amazon kept the ministry off its charity donation program, Amazon Smile, which allows purchasers on Amazon to donate a portion of their purchase to a 501c3 or a charity. Dr. Frank Wright, president and CEO of DJKM, said in a statement Tuesday, "We embarked today on a journey to right a terrible wrong. Those who knowingly label Christian ministries as hate groups solely for subscribing to the historic Christian faith are either woefully uninformed or willfully deceitful. In the case of the Southern Poverty Law Center, our lawsuit alleges the latter." Hmm. So they are getting sued.
Good for them. And, you know, we're looking at our options here as well at American Family Association, because we've been slandered and our name smeared by the Southern Poverty Law Center as well. They call us a hate group based on our views about homosexuality.
Mm-hmm. And the big story that was covered a couple of weeks ago was how CNN was using the SPLC data and the hate group map. We all know about what happened up in Washington, D.C. with our friends over at FRC because of this map. But another interesting story I found, these are both reported by PJ Media. Google has revealed that it's complicated to get into, but the data sources that they use come from places like ProPublica, BuzzFeed News, and now the Southern Poverty Law Center. So
yeah, what
Google
happens
searches.
Is the liberal, these very far left organizations like the SPLC, they get to set the narrative and make the definition for the world on what is a hate group. And a hate group, and so you get a liberal definition of what hate is and apply it to only conservative groups, basically, and then lump them in with the KKK. We've mentioned this before.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to the SPLC's website, which CNN used for what a hate group is, you got a whole bunch of KKK chapters. Most of them are just a mailbox, post office box. Okay, they're phantom. They're phantom. They're not any real people associated with these, and they have no influence at all, but they're listed. So you might have a bunch of KKK chapters two members.
Right.
Well, they're listed as a hate group. And so they count up in the 900 plus hate groups at the SPLC.
Yeah, and there's no criteria. You know, with our, this is, it's not a direct comparison, but with our Christmas list that we do where we tell you which retailers are proudly proclaiming Christmas and which ones are censoring it, we have a list of criteria. So how do we, what makes these retailers qualify to be on our Christmas list? So you have some kind of validity to your list. SPLC has no criteria. It's well, we just want them on there. There's no
well,
standards.
Well, they'll use quotations. They will use quotations from some of the, in other words, that they'll cite American Family Association as a hate group based on what Tim Wildman has said about homosexuality. And basically all I've said was that the biblical definition of homosexuality, but you can't say that.
Nope.
You can't say that without being tagged a hate group by a far-left group like the SPLC. Anyway, if that's interesting, a lawsuit's being our friends, Dr. Frank Wright and at the James Kennedy Center, filing a lawsuit. I hope they win. And we may join them. We're going to be talking to them about that as well. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Jeremy Wiggins, Fred Jackson, and Walker Wildman. Walker, we have a guest via the phone now, don't we?
We do. We have Autumn Lindsay. Autumn is, I believe, in Oregon or Washington, where Ms. Scott Lindsay lives.
Washington State.
Yeah. Autumn Lindsay is with us. She is not only a high school student, but she is also a Students for Life spokesperson. She has been doing a lot of videos about the pro-life issue. Autumn, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, there was a Princeton professor by the name of Liz Harmon, and she got in this video interview, and she essentially, what you said is she did a mental gymnastics, and so she was really trying to justify abortion, but she yet was contradicting herself. Tell us a little bit about that professor and what she was saying.
Right, so her whole, you know, the gist of her argument was just saying that the moral worth of a human is dependent on whether or not it has a future. So really what she was saying is that, you know, a child inside the womb, if the mother is planning on keeping her, it had moral worth all along. But if the mother was planning on, you know, aborting that child, then it never really had moral worth. So in all honesty, it made no sense. The way that she went back and forth, just dependent on what the mother was going to decide.
Wow, is that what's the number one argument you've heard to justify abortion? What's the leading, the go-to argument that you would say?
For me, so a lot of times I go on college campuses and I talk to people, and I think the biggest one is, you know, the circumstance. Well, if, you know, they're born into poverty, then it should be okay. Or if the child was conceived through rape, then it should be okay. So I would say the biggest reason that people justify abortion is just, you know, the circumstances the child's born in.
Okay, gotcha.
We're talking to Autumn Lindsay with Students for Life. And you're, how old are you now?
16.
Autumn, now your video, when we first talked to you 6 or 8 months ago or whenever it was, I don't know, how long has it been, a year ago since your video went viral?
About 7 months. It was in February.
In February, you had a video that you did that went viral. How many views did that end up getting?
I think by the end of it, we were at about 6 to 7 million.
Wow.
Six to 7 million. And what was that video about, and where can people watch that?
That one can be found on Facebook, on Students for Life page. And that was just a response to an article that Teen Vogue had posted.
And check that out. So we're talking to Autumn Lindsay. Students for Life, is that that's a national organization. We've worked with them before. So are you a official spokesperson for them?
Yes. So I partnered up with them, you know, after the Teen Vogue video.
Right.
Kind of started to get more popular. So I make videos for them, and then I speak at conferences on behalf of them.
All right. The latest video Walker's talking about, where can people watch that?
That one is, they're all posted on Students for Life's Students for Life of America's Facebook as well as their YouTube.
That's
probably the easiest way to find all the videos.
Yes, I've shared Students for Life's video.
On our website?
That's right.
On our Facebook page?
That's right.
Our Today's Issues Facebook page, you posted it there. Why do you care so passionately about this issue? Autumn, you're 16 years old. I mean, it seems to me you'd be more interested in school and boys and you know, hanging out with your friends at the mall and all that kind of stuff that normal teenagers do. Yet you're dedicating much of your life to the cause of the unborn. Why do you care about this so much?
I care about it so much because I honestly believe that this is the civil rights movement of our time. I believe that, you know, the right to life is the most fundamental right that we all should have. And the fact that people are so easily taking that away from the lives of the preborn, you know, is not only unfair, but, you know, it's disgusting the way that people are so easily able to justify death for the purpose of convenience. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I am more than happy to be dedicating my time into, you know, writing these speeches and talking to people and going to conferences just because, you know, I believe it's the most important issue of our time. Mm.
Autumn, where can folks find out more information about you? Do you have a website or a Facebook page?
Yes. So I have a Facebook page. It's just Autumn for Life. I have an Instagram that's autumn_SFLA. And then I have a website that's autumnprolife.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, Autumn, for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
It's Autumn Lindsay joining us from the state of Washington. Jeremy, isn't that encouraging to hear?
That's a conservative bastion up there where we would expect to hear things like this up in the great Pacific Northwest. Yeah, but, you know, at 16 years old, I remember what I was doing at 16, and I wasn't getting involved like this. So it is a really great thing to see, especially when we see all of the time people like Cosmo and Teen Vogue and all of these other publications. They're going after our kids, mm-hmm. and it is really great to see kids pushing back, especially to the tune of, you know, how many did you say, 7 million hits
views.
On YouTube? That's more than my favorite cat video got, so I'm really impressed on that.
Well, it's encouraging, too, to have young people like that and to have people show the interest that they have in that particular video, and she's willing to take on professors at schools that make ridiculous statements like this particular professor. Mm-hmm. So she ought to be an encouragement to many other young people who may be afraid they're going to be verbally attacked for their beliefs. Got to stand for truth, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm glad we had her on today. Hopefully that's an encouragement to her.
16 years old.
Boys.
So does give you hope.
Yeah, it sure does.
When we hear young ladies like that who love mm-hmm. the Lord.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And going to stand up for life and make a difference in her peer group, especially,
mm-hmm.
Which is that's encouraging. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Jeremy Wiggins, and Fred Jackson. Fred, what was your next news story?
Well, on Friday evening, while everybody was focused on the approach of Hurricane Harvey, President Donald Trump issued a pardon for former Arizona lawman Joe Arpaio.
Sheriff Joe.
Sheriff Joe. And I think most of our audience would likely be familiar with him. He was in the news a lot over the last several years because, you know, he's there in Arizona. He took a stand. Are you ready for this? For the law.
Mm-hmm.
And the law being, if you've entered this country illegally, we're not going to show you the welcome mat. Mm-hmm. And Sheriff Arpaio, of course, his stand did not make him popular with President Barack Obama. And so the courts, you know, a lot of them have appointees from President Barack Obama, came after Sheriff Arpaio because he did not have a problem with going out and stopping people who he believed were Hispanic and possibly in the country illegally. Hmm. Of course, he was accused of profiling people, but he simply said, well, it is a fact that most of the people living in the country have probably come across our southern border. And so I need to be out here and vigilant about that. So For that, he was found in contempt of court. They were going to send him to prison. He is mid-80s, I believe, in age. And President Donald Trump, I guess, feeling that he was, Sheriff Arpaio was one of those people out there who really believed that people should not enter this country illegally and that the charge and conviction against him was unfair, and he issued a pardon.
Well, you know what I was, this was excellent, and I love how the Trump administration did this on a Friday night. You know, the media just couldn't figure out how to turn it into a big political storm for President Trump. But two individuals that criticized President Trump were House Speaker Paul Ryan and Arizona Senator John McCain.
No.
Yes.
John McCain?
John McCain.
No.
He never criticizes Trump, does he?
No.
No.
So anyways, but I, what I thought to myself when I saw that, first off, this is an 85-year-old sheriff who was enforcing federal law. Surprise, surprise. And the president is pardoning him for a misdemeanor, maybe 6 months maximum in jail, if not, maybe a couple $1,000 fine. But the president is pardoning him, and Paul Ryan, for enforcing immigration laws, Paul Ryan and John McCain are criticizing. Where were they when the judge in Hawaii unconstitutionally struck down President Trump's travel restrictions? Mm-hmm. Where were they when the Supreme Court ruled on Obergefell, unconstitutional ruling? Where are they when these rogue federal judges are issuing these unconstitutional rulings, but they're so quick, they have these press statements ready to criticize President Trump if he does something to uphold the federal laws?
Yeah. Yeah. Senator McCain said the president has the authority to make this pardon, but doing so at this time undermines his claim for the respect of rule of law, as Mr. Arpaio has shown no remorse for his actions. At this time, well, where have you been, Senator McCain, in the effort to stop illegal immigration?
Right.
What have you done, has the senior senator from Arizona? And you know, this is just kind of ongoing. You mentioned also Paul Ryan, House Speaker Paul Ryan. Same kind of thing. And, you know, he has to show respect for the law. Sheriff Arpaio made it a point of his, the latter part of his career, to say we must finally do something about illegal immigration. Because, quite frankly, the federal government, through whether it's President Bush or President Barack Obama, hasn't done anything. And right. So it's time to do something about it. I shall tell you, but Sheriff Arpaio is very popular in Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly more popular than the other senator in Arizona who's been a critic of President Trump. Mm-hmm. Jeff Flake has an approval rating of 18%. And one of the reasons his approval rating, by the way, he's up for re-election next year, is that he has been so soft on securing our border.
Right.
So this is politics, and the president has decided at 85, 86 years of age that Sheriff Arpaio, who made it his life goal to uphold the laws of the land when it comes to immigration, worked hard at it and then was being punished by the courts.
Didn't he? I mean, when the word I think of when it comes to Sheriff Joe Arpaio is unconventional.
Unconventional,
I should say.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've ever seen like the footage of what, you know, his jails, you know, he'll make them go out and grow their own food in the gardens.
That.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
And he tries his best to make it almost a zero burden, well, as little as possible, on the taxpayers to have all of these people locked up.
Mm-hmm. This only helps President Trump with his base.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't hurt him.
Yeah.
Despite the criticisms of John McCain and Paul Ryan and others, because we've reached a point now of saturation on the hate against Trump, so that you couldn't hate him anymore than they already do. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing else. So, you know, there isn't somebody going, you know what, that's it for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The pardon of Sheriff Joe is the last straw. I can't support President Trump anymore. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.